Good morning. It is good to be with you today. Heather has introduced me. My name is Doug Ports, and I'm the associate pastor to Pittsburgh Presbytery, and I bring you greetings from the other 148 churches of Pittsburgh Presbytery. It's good to look out on a Sunday morning and see so many familiar faces, and I was delighted when Pastor Randy Bush called and asked if I might preach this morning. For it gives me an opportunity to thank you for your good work, for the ways in which the ministry, the pastors, elders, and others of this church have impacted the lives of so many in the neighborhood and beyond. I'm essentially very grateful to the leaders that this church provides to the presbytery. It's good to be here. Let us turn our attention to God's Word for today as it is found in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Listen to the Word of God. Paul writes, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy, but rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, come and descend by your Spirit upon us in this hour. May your word be opened to us so that its truth may find its way into the crevices of our hearts, and thus transform us into the people and the community you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's a new year, and many of us take this turning of the calendar to reassess our lives. I know I do. I think about the way I am living and ponder at this time of year how I might live differently into the future. And if you're like me, we make these plans. We make these adjustments to our living. Some call them resolutions. Others merely say, "I'm going to fine-tune my life." It's an attempt to live into the future according to the script we want to write. But as we saw in Tucson, Arizona recently in a shooting rampage at a Safeway, where 6 people were killed and 13 wounded, and the Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords lies in a hospital clinging to life, we see how unpredictable life can be, and how your life and mine can change in an instant. Perhaps you've heard the Tim McGraw song, "Live Like You Were Dying." It's about a 40-something man who discovers he has cancer and his days are limited. He decides to live life to its fullest, to trade his normal routine of living for something better, something deeper, something fuller. Now the chorus goes like this: "So I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu." Now for us Presbyterians, this deserves a little translation. This refers to rodeo riding a 2,000-pound steer not the way I would choose to use my last moments. I know of no church in Pittsburgh Presbytery that has a bull riding small group ministry. The song continues, "So I loved deeper, I spoke sweeter, I gave forgiveness I'd been denying." And he said, "Someday I hope you get a chance to live like you were dying. You and me know life is unpredictable. We've seen it all too often." But the song highlights the reality that each of us has only so much time to live, to breathe, to love, to laugh, to do whatever it is that feeds our souls, and yes, maybe even make right with our Maker. We have choices to make, don't we? And I think you'll agree with me that time is a commodity we all wish we had more of. I've officiated at far too many funerals where the common refrain heard during the visiting hours is this hushed statement of, "If only there had been more time. If only he or she could have done such and such before, you know, time ran out." I invite you to keep Representative Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords in your prayers in the hope that her time has not come to run out. Time on this earth is precious. So my question to you is, why don't we as believers who profess to have faith in the God of time live with that intensity, that kind of urgency to use our days to the fullest right now, every day? Why cannot we live into the future we want now, into the future God desires for us now? Why do so many of us wait until our sunset years or until a moment of crisis with our health to make our bucket lists? The passage I read for you today from Romans speaks about the shortness of time. Not in terms of death's imminence, but in the Apostle Paul's belief that at any minute Christ could return to usher in a new age of justice and love and peace and draw us to himself. Time as we know it would end. And Paul strongly believes that believers like you and me need to prepare for that moment of truth and transparency with our Lord, lest we be caught off guard and the future arrive to find our lives in a state of disrepair. And on that day, you and I find our lives to have far many too loose ends and too little time to act, having spent our lives on all the wrong things. Now we know our Lord loves us in spite of our sin. That goes without saying. We know the faithful will not be turned away. We know this. But it makes it no less embarrassing to fess up what we've missed. I know you're in church. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You may not look like much, but Jesus loves you anyway." I just read a woman's lips. She turned to her husband and said, "You might not look like much, but I married you anyway." But Paul asks, why do we wait around? Why don't we use the time we have with urgency and purpose? Why not start living today as if the future is here? Why not bring that desired future for ourselves and for God into the present? And he encourages Christians to get their lives in order and to prepare to meet the future, which is Christ, who sees us as we truly are, inside and out. I was flying recently and happened to go through one of the 60-plus airports that now use full-body scans as part of their security procedures. Just as the shoe bomber made it a requisite for all of us to pad around barefoot on grungy airport floors, the underwear bomber has led to the use of these virtual stripped-down scanners. Thanks to digital technology, these full-body scans strip us bare without us having to remove a single stitch of clothing. It's amazing what human ingenuity can come up with. As I went through the security line, a TSA agent pulled me aside, and after all, we Presbyterians have the same profile as terrorists. Not. I was given a choice of opting for an extended pat-down by someone of the same sex, or going into this machine that would allow a total stranger to fix their naked gaze upon me and my physique. I asked, "Is there a third choice?" And he said, "Not to fly in the plane, sir." I said, "What? All right, what's the difference? I'll do the full body scan." But as I approached the machine, I started to ask all sorts of questions. How much can they really see? How much detail is visible? I started to stand up straighter, suck in my stomach. After all, I wanted to make a good impression. As I entered the scanner, I peered around the edge of the machine to try to catch a glimpse of the person viewing my image on the monitor. I was depressed. She looked bored. But think about it. Through the power of light, we are revealed right down to our skin. The intensity and wavelength of light allows nothing on our bodies to be hidden. The Apostle Paul in our text for this morning is readying us for that kind of revealing, that penetrating light of Christ that gives us not a full body scan, but a full soul scan. And we better use our time to ready ourselves for that moment. And he asks, why do we wait to ready ourselves? Why do we waste our minutes? Why not live now as if Christ's future is already here and live as if Christ is present with us today to walk in the light of Christ today? Verse 11, Paul tells us it's time for us to wake from our slumber. Time to stop sleeping our lives away and to live for Christ. He writes, salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Night is almost over. The alarm clock is buzzing. Get the sleep out of your eyes. Get up, get dressed, put off the deeds of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Now's the time to live to its fullest. Now is the time for believers to see that each moment is pregnant with divine possibility to be used for good or evil, for spirit uplifting things, or things that diminish, corrupt, and sidetrack our souls. Now is the time to live as if the future has been moved to the presence, and for us in the Christian community to sense the breaking in of eternity into our lives. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. understood this. He spent his life waking people from their slumber. He opened their eyes to God's future. He spoke about bringing the dream of the future into the present. He understood how precious and time, life and time really is, and how it is to be used to its fullest for God's people now and not sometime in a distant future and place. Dr. King was one of those special people who, like the song says, lived like he was dying because every day he loved deeper, spoke sweeter of God's redeeming work. He offered forgiveness others had been denying in a world filled with injustice and hate and violence. He saw the different way that we as a nation and communities could live, and he called it into the present. He did not want to put off to tomorrow that which could be done today. But we Americans are procrastinators, aren't we? We love to put things off into the future, be they justice, retirement planning, balancing the federal budget, or even changing our diets. We tend to specialize in kicking the can down the road and making our problem someone else's problem. The Apostle Paul says we can't do this with our spiritual lives or with the world we see and all that's wrong with it. It's time for Christians, people of believers who see God's future, to wake from their slumber and to begin to act now and to bring that future into the present. I've recently been reading the book Deep Change by Robert Quinn. It's not a particularly religious book per se, but he does make a rather striking observation when he writes that many people, leaders in companies and in government and jobs of all kinds, settle for what he calls peace and pay. That is, they settle to be at peace with things they know are not right in the present. They try to ignore or avoid doing anything about them. They settle for a life without passion and vision or conviction about anything. They're content to settle to just take home their paycheck, feeling their job is a dead end, and they just want to get through the day and go through the motions as if life doesn't matter. And Robert Quinn writes that people who settle for peace and pay are only committing themselves to a slow death. Dr. King would not do that. The Apostle Paul, following in the footsteps of his Lord, could not settle for peace and pay with the world the way it is. So Paul calls us to put aside activities that are self-serving and self-indulgent and activities that destroy community and injure relationships, and to put on the clothing of Jesus Christ when we get up in the morning. Jesus Christ, he says, is the garment we are to wear upon our being each and every day, close to our skin. I don't know about you, but when I get dressed in the morning, I just don't throw on any old thing. I think, where am I going today? What am I going to do? Am I going to work, play, shop, golf, play tennis? There's normally a purpose to the clothes I pull out of my closet. My clothes set the tone for my day. When you and I choose to clothe ourselves in Jesus Christ, that sets a tone for our living. It gives added meaning and direction. It helps us know that Christ is walking with us and that the future is now to be brought into our daily living. So my question for us today, as we leave here and we go about our lives in this new year, are you ready to live into God's future today? And what are we doing about it? Are you tired of sleeping away your life and want to live with a sense of urgency and purpose? Are you ready to give up a life of settling for just peace and pay and living that slow death? Maybe you should go riding on a steer or skydive. My hope is that all the churches of Pittsburgh Presbytery would live like they're dying. To use each moment, each day in ministry with a sense of urgency and purpose. May we have the courage to start living now like Dr. King, the Apostle Paul, and our Lord, as if the new day has arrived. Let us pray. Lord, help us to live in your light, to dress our lives in Jesus Christ, and to live with expectation that a new day is coming. Open our lives to your future. Wake us from our slumber. Wipe the sleep from our eyes to see the world the way it is. May our days be filled with meaning and renewed purpose. And may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of our Lord, Savior, Rock, Redeemer, and Friend, we pray. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us continue in a spirit of prayer together as we lift before God the joys and concerns that we carry with us on our hearts. Let us continue in prayer. God of all time, Lord of all creation, you who made us and who called us here, who claimed us as your own, fashion our lives that we might wear the garment of Christ, be clothed in righteousness, be strengthened to live lives of love and service, embodying the justice to which you call us. May we partner with Christ in ushering your kingdom here and now. Lord, we join with Christ in praying for your people, turning to you in our time of need, lifting before you the concerns on our hearts, and giving you thanks that you are who you are, our Maker, our Redeemer, and the one who sustains us each and every day. And so hear our prayers. Hear our prayers this day that our hearts and our eyes will be open to your vision for our lives and for your world. Hear our prayers that our hearts and our minds might be opened, that we will be strengthened to embody your call with fullness, with gusto, with joy, even as we may encounter struggles along the way. Hear our prayers for your world, so fraught with violence. We know that there are those within this community and those within our world who struggle and grieve and worry today because of violence in our midst. And so we ask, O Lord, you who are the Prince of Peace, enter into our world, bring an end to the violence of war and oppression, of any abuse that one afflicts against another. We pray, Lord God, that you turn us from enmity and lead us into friendship and unity. We pray for all who have been victims of violence. Especially, we pray for Gabrielle Giffords, for all who are victims in the shooting in Arizona. But Lord God, we also remember those whose names we will never know, but who have felt the sting of a bullet or the violence of an injury from one against them. And so we pray for all who are victims of violence, asking for peace, for comfort, for strength, and for healing for all within your land. We pray for an end to oppression, for an end to all manifestations of racism or sexism or heterosexism or ageism or classism. The list goes on, Lord God. Turn us away from any outlook or ideology that breeds lies that some people are better than others, worthy of special privilege or power. Remind us that in you there is no east nor west nor north nor south, that in you we are one. In you, we are claimed as your children. In you, we are offered new life. You who came in Christ as a humble servant, overturning the tables of the hierarchies of this world, give us courage that we might follow where you lead and love as you love. Help us to serve as Christ served. Help us to join with you, O Christ, toward the healing and wholeness of all your people. We thank you, God, for the witness of those who challenge us to live into your love. Especially, we offer thanks for the dream of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and for all of the prophets and visionaries, for teachers who were willing to live in the future now and to call us to not waste our time on idle divisions, but to stand in courage, embodying the unity inspired by Christ. We pray against all that limits human wholeness, against all that injures or wounds your creation or fosters enmity or breeds hate. We pray that in the power of your Spirit, you will bring healing and hope, fellowship and love. Loving God, may your peace reign in our hearts and our families, in our church, in our communities, in our cities, and indeed across nations throughout this world. We pray too that the needs of all your people will be met, that the hungry will be filled, that the naked will be clothed, that the homeless will find shelter, that the outcast will find acceptance, that the oppressed will find freedom. We pray for all who are sick or suffering and ask that your healing power will transform their lives, bringing strength and hope. We pray too that you will comfort all who grieve this day. Especially, we lift before you our beloved brother Richard and ask that your resurrection will be a source of hope, your steadfast love a consolation, and your mercy a source of strength for him as he grieves the loss of his wife, and for all of your people throughout this world who are grieving this day. Our concerns might be too many to name or too personal to speak out loud, but we trust that you know our needs even before we ask. And we know that you hear all of the prayers that we lift before you now, even those which remain silent on our heart. So we lift before you our prayers, confident of your love and grace so mercifully poured out upon us in Jesus. Hear now these prayers and the prayer that Jesus taught us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.